Good evening. Good to see each of you this evening. Well, technology is really good, as we all say, when it works. But when I got ready to come to services this evening, my netbook decided to do a Windows update, and it's still not done. So we're not going to have an overhead, which we can do fine without it. But today we want to talk about a person from the Bible, from our Old Testament. And this Bible person may be one of our earliest memories from our Bible classes as children. And as you can tell from our scripture reading, I'm talking about the account of Jonah and the great fish who swallowed Jonah. Jonah has been a favorite Bible lesson for our little ones, and it ought to be. But we should not think that Jonah is just a children's story. It is very much a real event with real people, and it has many good lessons for all ages. And so let's see what we can learn from Jonah this evening. It's only four short chapters. But before we get into the reading, let's think about some background for the book of Jonah. The name Jonah literally means dove. And we know that a dove is a symbol of peace. And as we think about Jonah's attitude, especially when we get to chapter 4, it's easy for us to criticize Jonah and question if his name really fits him. And we will see a little more of his character later, and also make a comparison to ourselves in this. And Jonah lived and worked in Judah, which was the northern part of the divided kingdom of Israel. And the king at that time was Jeroboam II. He was an evil ruler. And so it may not have been too good a situation for a prophet of God such as Jonah to live under his rule. The city of Nineveh was considered the political capital of the world at that time. It was a large city. There were 120,000 people who lived there. It was famous for idol worship. It was also known for its cruelty to the prisoners of war. Very much a heathen city and a heathen culture. And no doubt this was a harsh time for Israel and the world in general. And an interesting fact here, Haley's Bible handbook says that Joppa, where Jonah caught this ship trying to avoid preaching to Nineveh, this was the same place that the Apostle Peter, 800 years later, was told to receive men of other nations, Gentile nations. And the message to him was that the gospel was for all men. And we know that Peter did what was expected by God on that occasion. But we will see that Jonah had trouble accepting his responsibility. And so God had prepared something for Jonah to convince him otherwise. And we see that the book of Jonah has a figure or a symbol that Jesus refers to in his teaching. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. It says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." And so we see a couple of things here. One is that Jesus spoke of Jonah as a real person. He was not just a Jewish fable handed down from one generation to the next. He was very much a real person. And so all these things that happen in the book of Jonah, they're real events. And the second thing that we see in this passage is that Jonah in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, this was something that Jesus spoke as a sign for those in his day. It was the same amount of time that he spent in the tomb after he was crucified. And then we know he rose on the third day. He makes that 3-day comparison to this Old Testament record of Jonah. Okay, so now let's get into Jonah chapter 1 and let's see what is there. We'll read each chapter and we'll make just a few comments after each one. And let's go ahead and back up to verse 1 again and read the whole chapter. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So here's what gets Jonah into this situation. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry out against it because of its wickedness. But for whatever reason, Jonah doesn't want to. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he thought it was just too dangerous. Maybe he thought that it just wouldn't do any good. And the reading does not tell us at this point. But Jonah decides to try and run away from God. And so he gets on this ship at Joppa, and the Lord causes this great storm on the sea, a storm that was so bad that the ship began to break apart. And from our reading, we know that the sailors find out that the Lord had sent this storm because of Jonah. and they end up throwing him overboard. In fact, Jonah is the one that tells them to do this. But we know that the Lord had something else in mind for Jonah. Look at verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And you might say that on that day, the fish were biting. At least one big fish was biting. And Jonah just happened to be the bait. But just consider his situation now. Lying in the belly of that fish, and he's still alive. Jonah, he had to say to himself, "What was I thinking? Did I really think I could escape from God?" And the fact is that no one can run from God. There's no place to hide. You can't hide from the one who created the heavens and the earth. And a Psalm of David tells us this very thing. And let's just read that section in Psalms 139. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." So where can we hide from God? Well, the answer is nowhere. And so to think that we can run from God is just a foolish thought. He knows exactly where we are every minute and every second of our lives. Jonah was made painfully aware of this fact at this point in his life. And now in chapter 2, we get into what was going through Jonah's mind while he lay in the belly of that great fish that God had prepared for him. Chapter 2 starts out, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And so in chapter 2, there's a tremendous attitude adjustment, isn't it? We see a definite change in Jonah's thinking. He repents of his wrong. He has a change of heart and a change of mind. And he actively prays to the Lord. He knows that God caused this to happen. And he knows that God is the only one that he can turn to. And he does just that. And instead of running from God, Jonah runs to God in his prayer. And it says that after Jonah does this, the fish regurgitates him. It spits him or vomits him out of his belly onto the shore or the dry land. And sometimes we're like Jonah, aren't we? We get on the wrong road, that road that's going away from God. And then something in our life happens that really shakes us up and makes us realize that, you know, I can't live without God. I need God more than anything. And I need to get back on track. God is the only one that can help me. And this is where Jonah is right now. Jonah chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. So now we see Jonah doing what he should have done in the first place. Instead of running from God, he's now running with God. He obeys God, and he goes and he preaches to the city of Nineveh. And you know what happened? The people did just as Jonah had done in the belly of that fish. They repented. They believed God and they turned from their evil. And as a result, God relented. He chose not to destroy Nineveh. And so 120,000 souls were spared because Jonah finally decided to take on the responsibility that God had given him. You see, he ran with God instead of running away from God. And if the book of Jonah stopped here, then we would have, everything would be great, wouldn't it? We would have our happy ending, but we have one more chapter. And we see there that Jonah still has something to learn. And let's read chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Jonah still had some issues, didn't he? He was angry with God for showing compassion on these Gentiles. He was very much like the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son. There was very much an attitude toward those who had once been in sin and now had repented. And instead of rejoicing in the salvation of these 120,000 Ninevites, Jonah thought they should still have been punished for their wickedness. Well, let's fast forward to the present now, to ourselves and today. As Christians doing the Lord's work, when we look at those in the world who are not obeying God, do we think of them as we ought to? Do we see them as God does, as people who are very much in need of the gospel message, a message that will turn their lives around and will be to the salvation of their souls? Or do we see them as Jonah did the Ninevites? Because God is very much concerned for those who are in a lost condition today. He's not willing that any should perish, Peter tells us. And we should be about the business of bringing God's message to them, instead of running ahead of God and pronouncing judgment upon them without giving them a chance to repent. Because God wants them to repent and come to Him and be saved. In the plant illustration there in chapter 4, for Jonah and for us today, I think is that people are more important than material things. And that's what we should understand as we see Jonah's problem here in chapter 4. He showed more concern for a plant, a material thing, than he did for the people of Nineveh. And that's how Jonah ends. That's the end of the book. And there are many more points we could make from the book of Jonah. This has just been a quick overview of it. But the lessons are there for all of us to learn. We all need God's salvation. And if we're running from God by failing to obey His word, by failing to believe on Jesus Christ and being baptized, then we need to consider the book of Jonah. Because there's nowhere to hide. And we just need to do what God has said. And if we're already a Christian, and we're running from our responsibility in doing the Lord's work, as Jonah did, then this lesson is for us also. We just cannot do that and please the Lord. And the only way to be happy is to do as Jonah did in chapters 2 and 3. And that is to run to God and to run with God. To do His will and to follow His commands. And let's never be guilty of running ahead of God. Let's don't condemn where God has not yet done so. Let's be concerned for the souls of all people. Are you a Christian today? One greater than Jonah came preaching the gospel of salvation, that is Jesus Christ. And we offer His invitation today. We stand ready to help you if you'd come forward as we stand and as we sing.